We greet you this morning again at this hour in the name of our crucified, buried, and risen Lord. This broadcast is coming to you from the Metropolitan Tabernacle of the First Baptist Church of Algiers, 501 Opelousas Avenue, Algiers, New Orleans, Louisiana. And this is Pastor Herman Gale speaking to you. And our post office box number is 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70114. We're glad you tuned in with us at this time. And the past hour, how the Lord blessed our hearts in the Sunday school hour. And our Father tonight, this morning hour, we thank Thee that Thy grace is sufficient. We found it so. And Thou art a helper in the time of need. And our Father this morning, how we thank Thee for Thy mercy, for Thy goodness, for Thy love for us, and for Thy people. And Heavenly Father, how Thou hast guided us through this past week and led us to this hour by Thy grace. We thank You. We praise Thy holy name for what You mean to us. We thank You for saving us. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, for first saving us and then thrusting us into the ministry that we might declare the unsearchable riches of Christ, might preach that others may hear and come to know what Thou hast revealed to our hearts by Thy Word, by Thy Spirit. And we ask Thee to bless Thy Word this morning, the message that Thou hast laid upon our hearts. Bless this waiting congregation before us here in the tabernacle and those out in radio land. Be with those that are sick. Our Father, we pray for them that You'll bless their hearts and raise them up according to Thy will. Give them a blessing this morning as they wait upon their bed. And our Father, we just look to You and trust Thee for this ministry. We thank You that Thou art our leader, Thou art our captain, and Thou hast called us to be soldiers in the ranks of the Lord. Keep us and guide us. We'll give Thee all the praise, honor, and glory. For Christ's sake we ask it. Amen. Now let's turn in our hymn books to number 179 and sing that song, Stand Up for Jesus. 179. And everybody sing. Praise the Lord. Stand up for Jesus. thank you. Now, we hope someday to get around to the different missions. And it'll be my first day in the office tomorrow. It's a new thing, you might say, something new. I've resigned my job that I've been working for 22 years. It's just a strange thing, the way these things have happened. But I praise the Lord for it. I don't know one step from another. I tell you, I don't know one day from the next, and maybe it's better like that. Just wait till that day comes. But I really don't know how to put one foot in front of the other. And that's how helpless I am. But I just don't know what lies ahead of me, except to look to the Lord, to trust Him, rely upon Him like I have relied upon Him before, but I think it burdens my heart all that much more for me to rely upon Him that much more. Because this is a ministry. It's not one that we should take lightly. It's not a ministry like the average ministry of today. But it is a ministry that carries a lot of burdens and a lot of problems. That's the reason why I said I do not make quick decisions, hasty decisions. I cannot. But just wait upon the Lord. And like someone has said, we'll just go on down the road looking unto the Lord and trusting Him. But I'm looking forward to being in the office tomorrow, this week, and hoping someday to get around to these different missions. And I praise the Lord for those who I have talked with. They'd be glad to have me to visit with them. And I praise the Lord for the interest that it has created in many of our people out in Radio Land. I received a wonderful letter from Brother Smothers, Texas, this week, encouraging, saying he's praying for us, with us, as his pastor, which I praise the Lord for. And I've heard some remarks that, you know, the Lord has been teaching us in the last 2 weeks, and He has been teaching me too. So He's been teaching all of us. Being thrust into the ministry like this, it's a challenge. But I'm made to ask the question to myself, who is sufficient for these things? Knowing that the Lord is sufficient. If I didn't know that, if I didn't know that the Lord was with me and leading me and directing me, many times I may not see the hand. And many times that hand might be like just a small cloud. And I can't see no further. I can't see through it. But He has taught me one thing through the years. Just like He taught me in salvation, is to trust Him. Just trust Him. And my cry has been, Lord, just make me again as a little child, that I might just trust You. I might just believe You. And believe that you thrust us into this. And You put us in the forefront. And just give me the grace that's needed. And that I may be a good pastor, a good leader. And that I'll not draw back or want to run. But keep my feet. Keep my way. Keep everything that will please Thee and glorify Thee. That this ministry can go on. I just look around. I've been looking around. I don't see anyone that I can just say, come, take my place. Come, replace this what I have. The burden is great. I look around. I can't see nobody. Nobody wants it. But I'm here by the grace of God. I'm here because He put me here. It was not my choice. God's choice. And I appreciate it. The opportunity. And I praise the Lord for it. As He made me a choice of His in salvation, He's made me a choice as His leader here. The apple of His eye. His anointed. And I take that position this morning. I'm being led by Him and by not any one individual. I'm not going to be swayed by any one individual. But I'm looking to the Lord. I've got helpers around me. I praise the Lord for them. They understand me. And we understand one another. We work together in this great vineyard the Lord has thrust us into. We move together, walk together, and fulfilling that which God has purposed for our hearts and lives, to His honor, to His glory, to His praise. And I do it above all contradiction, above everybody, what everybody might say. I cannot listen to them. I've got to look to my Lord. And that's what I'm doing. And I praise the Lord for it. So let's be in prayer, much prayer. That's been a burden in my heart, that I'll find a people here that's a praying people, that's living in a spiritual atmosphere in your home, that your prayer is continually following us day by day, praying for God's work here, that the work will go on, that the doors will continue to be open where the gospel is preached and sinners are awakened and saved, brought to know Christ, rejoicing in Him, kept by the power of God. All right. Now, is there anything else? Oh, yes. We have services here tonight at 7:30. Join with us. The Lord has been blessing us on these Sunday night services. So let's sing of the song, Wherever He Leads I'll Go, number 40. Let's stand as we sing it. Come on. Wherever He leads, I'll go. Now, could that be your desire, your prayer, your earnest desire? Come on and sing it. Something here, that is some of you. You may not be sincere in what you're singing. And maybe some of you don't dare to sing it, because there's something that's keeping you from coming to Christ, from coming to know Him. And you're afraid to say that because you know what it means to follow Christ. Unless an individual forsakes all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple, the Lord said. You're going to forsake your way. You're going to forsake your will. You're going to forsake your pleasures. You're going to forsake your sins to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, or you'll never know Him. I know when God was dealing with my heart, and I came to that definite conviction in my heart and life. And when they sang that song years ago, I remember, before God ever saved me, that wherever He leads, I'll go. When I came to that place that I was ready to throw up my hands and surrender unto the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ, then I was able to sing that song, and it would be fulfilled by His grace. And it was. Let's sing that next verse. Definite and sure about that. Be seated. Wherever He leads, I'll go. That's the song Brother Smothers asked the choir to sing this morning as we sang it in that letter. He says, "Will you ask the choir to sing that song for me? Wherever He leads, I'll go." So that's, you don't have any trouble with people like that. You don't have any trouble with people like that. You know where they're going. Wherever He leads, what valleys He's bring me through, what mountains He brings me over, what battles might lie ahead, what sufferings, what surrendering, wherever He leads, I'll go. And He does tell us in His Word that He'll lead the blind by a way that they knew not. He will lead them in paths that they have not known. He will make darkness light before them and the crooked things straight. And He'll do that, and He'll never forsake us. So, wherever He leads, you keep your eyes upon the Lord and let the Holy Spirit lead you. Now let us turn in our Bibles to 1 Peter and the 5th chapter for our message this morning. 1 Peter 5:1 with that first verse of the 5th chapter of 1 Peter. The elders who are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight of it, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. In like manner, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and he giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now, why is the Apostle Paul? He prefaces our text here, which is that 8th and 9th verse, casting all of your cares upon him, for he careth for you. And look at that 8th verse. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I like that little word over there. He says, settle you. And so many awakened sinners, you need to be settled. You need to come to some conclusion in your convictions. You need to be settled in your mind. And that's what the grace of God does for the sinner. He settles that individual, makes him a willing individual. But I see so much, what you might say, in the life of sinners, they're not settled. They're just not settled. They just don't know what they really want, or what to believe, or how to believe it. And just never settle. But the grace of God, like Paul is speaking here, that it'll make you, it'll perfect you, it'll establish you, it'll strengthen you, it will settle you. Now, you get all of this, you draw all of this from the grace of God. Now, don't you try to settle yourself and establish yourself in a part of the grace of God, but it's the grace of God that does for us that which we cannot do within ourselves. And especially that individual who is seeking the Lord, who wants to know Christ. Now, he's talking here, Peter is speaking here in that 8th verse, he's talking for those who have learned through grace to cast all of their problems, all of their troubles, everything upon Christ, because he cares for you. And when you come to see that, when we come to see that, then that Christ cares for us as his people, then we learn to cast everything upon him. Everything that touches your heart and life as an awakened sinner and as God's child. Casting all your cares upon Christ, upon him, for he can bear them. He's our burden bearer. He has the strong shoulders to carry them where you and I cannot. We cannot. Now in verse 8, Peter is telling us of the devil who walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, the devil is not dead. The devil is not primarily out in the establishments of the world, in the taverns. But I tell you where the devil is. Satan, the old rascal, the old devil, is right with us here this morning. He's put on his Sunday go-to-meeting clothes, and he's right here this morning. And he's listening to every word that's being preached, taught. He's listening to the Word of God. And he is going to do his best to reflect the Word of God, to sidetrack the Word of God. Now, he's talking here, he says, who walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Now, that word devour, we could translate that as to intimidate. Now, Satan is a good master at that, to intimidate people. He's intimidated me during the week. Oh, in many circumstances, many things have come up in my life. You see what you got yourself into now. You see where you are now. You see, you're losing everything that you worked for through the years, and you're going to put 22 years behind of you and give all that up while you don't know where you'll get your next meal or your next salary. And then now you've got different things that you have to meet. Don't you think you ought to change your mind? Don't you think you should go and call your boss and tell him it's all just a big error and that you'd like to go back with him, not to cancel your job and everything? He is a rascal. He's an intimidator. And let me tell you, he may be plying upon your hearts and your minds and saying, why follow that crowd up there? Why believe everything they're saying? Don't you know that work is going to fold up? Don't you think the doors of that church is going to close up? Why don't you do that? The devil walketh about. He's a liar. He's the father of liars. And I'm not going to believe him. And he's not going to intimidate me. Now, that's the thing he wants me to do. He wants me to throw up my hands. And he wants me to go back. And he wants me to apologize for everything I've said and get my job back and let this work go to somebody else. And brother, he harassed me all last night in my sleep. I couldn't hardly sleep. A roaring lion. Now, I tell you different ways he'd be able to come at you. I got him right down here. There's many characteristics the devil has. But the three main characteristics that's recorded in the Word of God here are the ones that we're a danger in listening to and being led by, astray by. But ever since our pastor, I used to enjoy listening to him preach along these lines and warn us of the tricks and his dastardly attacks upon us and how he does and how he tries to intimidate the believer. To intimidate him, to catch him off a guard, and to make him relax a little bit and not to be too concerned or too serious in what he's going after and what the Lord is doing here. But he walks about seeking whom he may devour. I've come to this conclusion, people, that this is where God's put me. No man's put me here. God's put me here. And I said, like one of those old divines said, I said, though all my ships come home to port with broken mast and sails, I'm going to trust the hand that never fails. And he hasn't failed me these 20 years since he saved me. He's taught me to trust him step by step. And like I was telling some folks at Picayune yesterday evening, I took a ride up there. I wanted to see some of them. I was talking to Brother Dottrell, and I said, Brother Dottrell, I said, my 7 years of training down there in Picayune, the Lord trained me for almost 8 years down there for this work. I didn't know about it. I didn't know what the Lord was doing. Didn't he train Moses on the backside of the desert before he called him to be a leader? And some preacher, young preacher up there, commented and said, that must be a smart man they got in the pulpit over there. And Brother Doctor says, no, he's not smart. God's taught him everything he's learned. And I say that. God's taught me in 20 years, these past 20 years, everything I've known, everything spiritual I've learned, he's taught it to me. And I praise him for it. But I never knew the day would come that I'd be put in a position as a pastor, leading a people. And I've got to ask myself that question over and over again. Who am I? Who am I? Not eloquent in speech. Who am I that God would chose me to be a leader, to save me and thrust me into the ministry like he has? But I have to be faithful. And now I'm beginning to run into things. I'm run up against the devil. But the only thing I've got to battle him with is with the Word of God, the Word of my testimony. Like the pastor said this morning, when the Lord cornered him, the only thing he could do was give his testimony how God saved him. And that's the only conclusion I can come to, is preach the gospel. And like when somebody says, preach hell off the cross, just preach and magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. Glorify him. Tell that story over again. Christ died for sinners. Died for me. Paid my sin debt in full. And led me. Saved me. Led me. And brought me to this hour. And has not failed me. And will never fail me. And so, he walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now let us, before we get this verse here, let us look at the foreground in relationship to this text here. What has happened before? In verse 10, it says, God, who called you. Now, he called us into this grace. He called you people into this grace. God called us. Gave us that effectual call that brought us to Christ. Oh, that's my prayer for every one of you young boys and young girls here, that the effectual call of God would come to your heart like it came to my heart and set you seeking after Christ. Turn you from your way, your wicked way, your wicked will, your self-purpose in life, and turn you unto the Lord. That's the prayer of my life. I've been concerned about our young people growing up under this gospel. Because it won't be long before some of the elders, some of us, will be gone from here. But what's going to happen to our young people? Where are they going to be? Are they going to be able to stick their feet into the sand and take their stand for truth, for the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ, grow up in that knowledge, taught by the Spirit of God, to take their stand in this life? So it's God who called you. Now here is the background. And Jesus said unto them, come after me. God calls, and God says, come after me. God's calling you, sinner. God's calling you. And he's been calling you for a long time. And now he says, now you come after me. Come follow me. As he went along the seashores of Galilee, he saw these fishermen, Matthew, and Peter, Simon, and the other apostles. He says, come, come. He's calling you. Come, follow me. Come, follow me. And he's calling you this morning to come follow him. Come follow Christ. Now, and Jesus said unto them, come ye after me. Now, all right. You come, you follow Christ. You hear that call, you come follow him. Now, what is the admonition and what's the exhortations here? As we find in that 8th verse, it says, be watchful. Be sober. Be watchful. Now, anybody who follows Christ is going to be dealt with by the devil. Now, if you're not troubled with the devil, if you don't have any trouble with him, you're no follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you don't know what it means to be harassed and intimidated, and the devil to try to turn you, to intimidate you in any manner that he can get at you, well, you're just not saved. Some people might say, well, I don't have any trouble with the devil at all. He never bothers me. You better search your heart, because that's a sure sign you do not know the Lord. Because the Lord here warns all of his followers like he did those. He said, come, follow me. Now, be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, and he is our adversary. He becomes our adversary. Now, before God saves us, we are in his camp. Now, you listen. Before God saves us, we are in his camp. He doesn't have to watch us. We are already under his protection, you might say, or under his dominion. We are already ensnared by him. And that's what salvation is a deliverance from Satan's hold upon us. It is a deliverance from Satan's power over us. That's what salvation is. And when God delivers you from that power, then that same power turns upon you and intimidates you. Not that he can keep you from getting saved, but he could sure do a lot of trouble to your testimony. I had that trouble after God saved me. I tell you, I ran into all kind of mischief and trouble. But it was just for my strengthening there. It was to perfect me, to establish me, to strengthen me, and to settle me in the faith. Be watchful. Matthew 26:40, it records that Jesus, speaking to Peter after finding him and the other disciple asleep, he said, Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Always watchful. Now, Jesus, he was ever watchful. Satan was always intimidating him, trying to get him to do things that will dishonor his commission, dishonor his Father, trying to get Jesus to bow down to him, to his feet, and worship him. He said, I'll give you all of this if you do that. And that's what he offers to the sin of the day. You worship me. And let me tell you, every unsaved soul bows at the feet of Satan. At the feet of their father. They bow in recognition. Submission unto him. And he's offered them everything in this world. He's offered them all the pleasures, all the riches, offer them anything they want, desire after, the craving of their heart, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. He's offered all that to them because you bow down to them. And that's true. And that's the reason why Jesus told those group of Pharisees, he says, ye are of your father the devil. But praise God that when he delivers you, the whole transaction there is that he becomes your father, and that the devil is no more your father. Oh, what a deliverance. I'd rather have my heavenly father as my father. I've never known what an earthly father was. Being that he died when I was just a young boy, about 4 years old. But I know what a heavenly father is. I know what a fatherly care is, because he cares for his own. He takes care of us. watches over us as a father, feeds us. But, yes, Peter, why are you sleeping, Peter? Oh, that's the reason why I'm mindful of the watchfulness of our people, of you. That because we may not have any group prayer meeting. That was on my heart last night. I'm longing after you to start a prayer meeting in your home, in your secret closet, and bear the burden of this work with us together. You might say share it one with another. Because it's prayer that Satan doesn't like. There's power in prayer. Because we're asking the Father for protection. We're asking the Lord for deliverance. We're asking the Lord for an awakening. And if the devil can keep you off your knees and keep you taken up with things, he knows he's quieted your heart and your mind, and that the door of heaven is shut. All right. Now, what is the warning here? Your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, he walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. On another occasion, Jesus spoke to Peter thus, Simon, Simon, Satan had desire to have thee. Has the Lord ever turned you over to Satan and let him sift you? It's an unpleasant ordeal. Very unpleasant. Oh, the heavens are like brass. Where has God gone to? Where has my Father gone to? He's left me here helpless. Turn me over to Satan to sift me. Not recognizing at that time the whole purpose of it. Why did the Lord permit Satan to attack Job like he did? Job was being tried, he was being tested, he was being tempted. And the Father was, and his Father, his Heavenly Father was saying, telling Satan, all right, go ahead. Do all you will to him. Only don't touch his life. Turn him over to Satan to sift him. And that's what the Lord does for every one of his children. There comes a time of sifting. Sifting the wheat. Finding out where you are. What you believe. Where your trust is. Where your faith lies. Where your power is. Where your foundation is. Is it on something sandy? It'll all go out from under you. Recognizing that you're not in the Lord at all. But it was on that foundation, Christ. It'll hold. It'll weather every storm, every temptation, every attack of Satan. Because the Lord holds you. The Lord is holding you. The Lord has hold of you. Just like he had hold of Job. Yes, Simon, Simon, Satan had desire to sift you. And every now and then you see one of God's people going through that sifting. Going through that sifting. And if you're anchored in Christ, if you know the Lord, if the foundation that you have is Christ, what is going to do to you? Huh? It's not going to crumble out from under you, but you're going to be more reassured of whom you have believed, whom you have trusted, what you have, because in it all, it is for our perfection, is to establish us, is to strengthen us, is to settle us. And brother, let me tell you something. I got a little thought last night. Listen to me. Listen to me, people. We talk about numbers here. Oh, we'd love to see this house filled. And I would. But here's the thing I'm interested in, and the Lord is interested in, and that I come to find out. And Brother Lessinger and I were talking the other night. He made a statement the pastors made over and over again. But it never got a hold of me like it did last night, during the week, one night this week. We talked. He says, you know, the Lord has all the wealth in the world. He can supply this work with millions. There wouldn't be one need for any part of the work. We can flourish here. But the Lord is not interested in that. What He is interested in is building character. Is building a man or a woman to stand in this life. Our average church today is built upon numbers of how many people they can get into the church. How many baptisms? How many professions of faith? They're just counting numbers. They're not interested in the character of an individual. God is interested in the character. And you've heard the pastor mention this over and over again. Sometimes it takes 20 and 30 and sometimes 40 years for God to build a man that He can use, or a woman. We may never see this house filled, but if we could see characters here after God's making, then that's satisfying. People that will take the stand. People that will live the gospel. That will walk the gospel. People that will know Christ. That's what we're interested in here. Not numbers. But I still believe that God's able to fill this tabernacle with it. With those type of characters. To get on our knees. When Zion travails, children are born. And the individual's character is made on his knee. He travails with God in prayer. For his own life and for the lives of others, for the going forth of the church, knowing that God is able and sufficient and has all the ready supply to supply us with. And that's what he's looking for. Oh, that thought got a hold of me. He's interested in building character. Building a character. A man or a woman or a young boy. I don't care what color, what creed there may be. And that he may be glorified in that life and exalted. Because Satan seems to be in the saddle today, riding wild. Everywhere you look. But you see that individual walking with the Lord, he stands out. The Lord says, I've made him a trophy of my grace. Look. Look what my grace has done to that individual. Look what my grace has done to him. For him. Look what the Lord has done for us here. You and I. Well, and the purpose behind it all, God's purpose behind it all, was the God of all grace will make you perfect. Though He may turn you over to Satan, though He may come to intimidate you. The more familiar guys the devil is spoken of in scriptures are three types now. I won't be able to get through with this week. First, he's recorded as a serpent. You know what a serpent is? Well, and then he's recorded as an angel of light and as a roaring lion. If he can't get you on one, he'll try another. He'll keep trying until he gets you. If he can throw you off, if he can make you awaken sinners, draw back. He'll try everything in the world. But listen, recognize your adversary, the devil, in whose territory that you are and that God's drawing you out of it. You recognize that. The adversary, recognize the devil. Study his character. Who is he? What did he do? How the scriptures tell of him? And how did he try to intimidate the Lord Jesus Christ and everyone that's recorded in the scriptures? And that's the reason why he says, know the devil, know your adversary, that he's a liar. He was a liar from the beginning. Look what he did in the Garden of Eden when he tempted Adam and Eve, when he came to him like a serpent and he questioned God's commands. Hiss, Adam. As the serpent in the Garden of Eden, he beguiled Adam and Eve. He beguiled their senses. A serpent. Their judgment as to God's command was perverted. God said one thing, Satan said another. They believed Satan rather than believed God, because they listened long enough to Satan. They began to reason with Satan. You don't have to reason with Satan. The Lord didn't tell us to reason with Satan. Jesus says, come, let us reason together. He said, reason with him. He says, though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, I'll make them as wool. Now that's the only one you have to reason with. He's the only one, the Lord. You don't reason with Satan. I rather obey God than obey Satan. Listen to him. Yes, what did he do? He enchanted their imaginations. Like soothing music, you know. Enchanted music. Chanting music. Lulls you to sleep. Lull you to sleep. That's right. No, we don't like all the hip music and all the rock and roll and everything else. Well, can't get you like that. He'll enchant you. Get your mind off of the scriptures. Get your mind off your knees. Get you off your prayer bones. Get your minds off of your studying and your meditation. He'll soothe that. He'll enchant you. You heard that song, One Enchanted Evening? Enchanted. He charmed and paralyzed their senses. Do you know what Satan can do? As a serpent. You know, you saw cats, they charm a bird and draw that bird to him. Charm them. That cat charms their senses to where they can do nothing but come. And the cat can get to it, a bird. And that's the method that Satan uses as a serpent. He enchants. He paralyzes the senses. We are fascinated, bewitched, paralyzed by the influence of some illicit and unclean spell. The love of money becomes a fascination. It holds a man as under a wizard's spell. Money charms individuals. That's right. Money charms an individual. They just can't make enough. They've got to have plenty. They've got to have more. More. It charms them. The love of money. Not that there's anything wrong with money, but it's the love of the money. The love of it. You're charmed by it. Becomes aggrieved. Gambling becomes a kind of a spiritual bondage that destroys an individual. Oh, when I look back on my past life and see where God's delivered me out of this and delivered me out of this, and where it would have brought doomsday upon my head and disaster. I praise the Lord that he broke that power of gambling in my life. Yes, I used to gamble. And I don't take any glory in it, because I know when I look back on it, how it almost just destroyed me and my home and everybody else around me. Money became just fascinating to me. When I look back on it, well, we're almost closing now. We've got about 2 minutes. And I haven't gotten into it yet. But just those thoughts there that we brought out. Be wary of our adversary, the devil. What it says there in that 8th verse? Hey, look, read it. Read it in your Bible. Be sober. Look up that word sober and find out what it means. Sober. Or be sober-minded. Be sober-minded. Be vigilant. Always alert. Vigilant. And then, of course, we have another message along that line. The Lord willing, we'll bring it. Because your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour or intimidate you. And I tell you something else, is to get all kind of thoughts and thinking in your heart, even might be concerning me. How do you know that man's saved? How do you know he might not be tricking you? How do you know he might not weave his way in that pulpit and got the better side of individuals and went along with them and just kind of persuade them one way or another? How you know he's preaching the truth? How do you know this and how do you know that? Here, and how about the other workers? And he'll start trying to get things started around in the group here, or he'll start things in the office. And oh, he's a master at all of that. Be sober-minded. Be alert. Their adversary, the devil, our arch enemy, the devil. God's enemy, who will one day be cast into the lake of fire with all of his those he has deceived and kept. Union Radio Land, we have to let you go. We're glad you've been tuned with us this morning. And my prayer is that it might be your prayer. You pray for us. Labor with us. Stand with us. With your prayer and with your pocketbook. Because we need your help. And may God's blessings rest upon you. Be with us next Sunday for another of God's message. Thank you for tuning in with us this morning. And goodbye. We'll finish that, the Lord willing, next Sunday. Just touching more or less the hem of the garment. But because everything seems to be going fine, and because we know the Lord is moving in our midst, that doesn't mean that we have to let up. And you, especially as an awakened sinner, don't you depend upon no one, no other source, but the grace of God to get you to Christ. And you had better recognize your enemy who is trying to get you to turn back, to go back. And we as God's people should recognize all that much more. Our adversary is the devil. And we're to be sober-minded. Not stupor. Sober-minded. Be vigilant. Be alert. Be watchful. In other places it says, in all things, in prayer. In supplication. Making melody in our hearts unto the Lord. Praise. Thanksgiving. And just continually, that should be our heart should be taken up with those things, guarded against Satan and his attacks, and know how to answer him. Now, how do you answer the devil? What weapons of warfare do you have? What weapons of warfare do I have? They're not carnal. I can't battle them with my own self, my own flesh, my own hands, or with any carnal weapon. But our weapons are spiritual. We have a spiritual force behind us. And we have a force here is the Word of God. Is the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. They overcame him by the word of their testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. My salvation is Christ. My foundation is Christ. My covert is Christ. My captain is Christ. And that's exactly where I'm going to stand, right there. And I praise the Lord for it. It's all of grace. What God has done for us in Christ. And what we have yet to see Him do. Will you be a follower of the Lamb? Will you follow the Lamb whithersoever He goeth? If you will you stand to your feet? Will you be able to say in your heart, whithersoever He goeth, I'll follow? Will you follow the Lamb whithersoever He goeth? Our Father, this morning, we want to thank Thee for these 2 hours past, how Thou hast been with us. How Thou hast led us. How Thou hast been faithful and full of mercy and compassion. How Thou, Heavenly Father, are dealing with us and giving us these messages that will warn us of Satan, warn us of our adversary, and others He may use, our Father, to ensnare different ones in this assembly. We pray that Thy grace will be sufficient, and Thou will lead us and guide us and keep us, and we'll give Thee all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. For Christ's sake, we ask it in His name. Amen.